Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits," by the way, this is the Message translation. "Unless a person submits to this original creation," he calls it the wind hovering over the water creation, "the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter into the kingdom." He goes on to say, when you look at a baby, so he started off by talking about wind and water and how the wind affects the water, moves the water. We see the water, we don't see the wind. And then he moves to a baby. He says, when you look at a baby, it's just like a body that you can look at it and touch, but the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see or touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from, where it's headed next. That's the way it is when everyone, with everyone who's born from above by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. Listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only what I know by experience. Everybody say experience. I give witness only to what I've seen with my own eyes. There's nothing secondhand here. No hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. That's just kind of a natural response. But you notice how even Jesus took natural things that Nicodemus would have been familiar with and endeavored to explain the mystery of the gospel of being born from above. See, we do these things just kind of develop in these areas because we have got to come to the place where we learn how to communicate to our society in their language. I posted this just a few weeks ago. This is the wonderful message that's being spread everywhere. Powerfully changing hearts throughout the earth, just like it's changed you. Every believer of this good news bears the fruit of eternal life as they experience, there's that word experience, the reality of God's, and I just wanted to use the word hashtag presence and accompanying power. Of course, in the text, it's the word grace, but to reinforce our thought process in the right direction, you realize that you are a steward over the gospel of His presence and the power that accompanies it. It's quite a bit different, isn't it? Than just the gospel of He could roast you, but He's chosen not to. It's a totally different message, guys. So, that was Colossians 1, verse 6. You remember Jesus said this in Mark 12, 29. He said, "The most important of all the commandments is the Lord Yahweh our God is one." Everybody say one. You are to love the Lord your God with all your passion of your heart, all the energy of your being, and every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment. And then he says the second one is you must love your neighbor in the same way. Everybody say in the same way. You love yourself. You will never find greater commandments than these. The awesome thing about now is the new covenant environment. We talked about this before. When Jesus said the Lord God is one, previously he said that they had a misunderstanding in their thought process because He said that the God was the God of the living. Anytime you see the word living, God is the God of the living. The living God is the God of the living. He's talking about something that's here and now, spontaneous in nature and revelatory. Anybody understand when I say revelatory what I mean? What was that? Yeah. So, Jesus said that the Lord God is one. The word one here in the text is interesting because it literally means one virtually by union. In the New Covenant environment, John said it like this, that basically you're inside of Him and He's inside of you. Can't get any more one than that. The challenge that we've had in our church circles is we've separated ourselves out from, or we've allowed ourselves to be separated out from Him, to where we think on our own. We do everything on our own, and we think that He's out there somewhere separate from us. And that's not what your New Testament shows you. So you put those verses in Mark 12:29 into the New Covenant environment, and the passion, the energy, and the thoughts, and the strength that He's talking about all become His passion, His energy, His thoughts, and His strength, but you're inside of Him. Right? So the New Covenant environment puts it all in one unit. Everybody say this again. According to the New Covenant, according to New Covenant realities, I don't exist. You don't. If you'll read your New Testament, you'll find out that that's absolutely the truth. And Paul says that I'm dead. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. My life is hidden in Him in Colossians. In fact, the life that I see manifested out of me all the time is in fact His life, but hold my horses, it's my life too, because my life is His life. The sooner we get a revelation of that truth, folks, the sooner that authentic community takes a hold. Because there's not a secondary individual there to get hurt. How many know Jesus can't be offended? How many know Jesus doesn't take any account of wrongs? Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6 says, walk in the wisdom of God as you live before unbelievers, and make it your duty to make Him known. Let every word you speak be drenched with what? Which is what? And the working of His power. So you're bringing Him into the moment. And make sure your words are tempered with truth and clarity. I love what that word clarity actually means. Our translation says seasoned with salt, but it has the idea of this, that to speak friendly, to speak clear, and to make people thirsty for the truth. So if we understand we're carriers of His presence, and when we open our mouths, the words that we speak will make people thirsty for Him. That's pretty awesome. Colossians 1, verses 20 through 23, we went through this the last few weeks, talking about the reality of the blood of the cross, the authority of the cross. The blood of the cross restored everything back to Himself. He restored you back into His presence. It literally eradicated any trace that darkness tried to lay hold to lay down in human beings' life to give them an identity. Colossians 2:11 says, through your union with Him, we've experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt, the power of sin has been cut away and now is extinct. You'll be shocked at the amount of people that fight for their right to live with guilt and shame. But the new covenant reality, the heaven's reality, since the cross and the resurrection, is Father has set every human being free from any identity that didn't come from Him. That's why the term is so often called being born again. It isn't speaking about your natural birth and then your spiritual birth. It's literally speaking of you at one point you were in the family lineage of the Creator of the universe. You came out of it and He put you back in it. Restored back into the family lineage. Your New Testament says that before you were ever in your parents, you were in Him. Now I realize the connotations of that. But your New Testament says that. I didn't just drop it in there for the sake of this series. Colossians 2:14 says, through the divine authority of His cross, He canceled out every legal violation or anything that was held against us. So the cross has an authority that exists in the unseen realm. Next time you see somebody wearing a cross necklace or a cross piece of jewelry, you should say to them, so I see by you wearing that cross that you understand your value. And you understand that God re-seated you next to Him. And see what kind of response you get. I've walked into a jewelry store that was the opposite of Kay's. And I've made that statement. And you know what the response was? Talk to me some more. Because people want to know. I literally had a gal across the counter ask me, talk to me about this. He erased it all. Everybody say it's erased. How many of you had your hard drive erased? It sucks. I know there are special people that can miraculously recover things, but they don't live at my house. I've had thumb drives erased, never to be restored. The cross erased everything that was ever against you in your lifetime. It erased everything. It erased any violations. It erased your stained soul. How many know? In 1 John 1:9, when it says, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. And what's the very next word? Now, what's the very next word? The very next word. There it is, a rock answer. There you go, buddy. All right. The word and. What's the word and there for? It's a connector. He's not done talking. He says, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin. That was the actions. And, everybody say and. That means there's more coming. Cleanse you from what? All unrighteousness. Do you know what the all unrighteousness is? The endeavor to stain your soul, to tie you to that action later on. The and all unrighteousness is the setting you free, not just from the act, but also from any endeavor or attempt to stain your soul from that action later on. What's He doing? He's just simply maintaining the new covenant environment. That's why it's important, folks, that we... I don't know how else to say this than to say, just to give you a picture, and that is to live life on your face. Not poor wormy me, but in His presence all the time and constantly always making adjustments to make sure we agree with Him. Because When we agree with Him, there is no leverage to stain your soul, to lead you around any way they want later on. Does everybody understand? Colossians 2:15, Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon. Can you say every weapon? And all their authority and power to accuse. See, that's the power of the cross. The power of the cross put the powers of darkness in jail. I'm not speaking about just a theological concept we can clap at. This in the heavens, this is literally the rule of law. The cross has that authority in the eternal realm. It literally stands for and is a indication that all of the weapons and authority that used to be darknesses now does not belong to them, and they've been thrown in prison. Somebody needs to say amen. So the blood of the cross restored you back inside of God. Everybody say that. The blood of the cross, restored me, back inside of God. And if you're listening to this by recording, yes, I just did say that. The divine authority of His cross canceled, erased any shame of failure, and it deleted it all. The power of the cross stripped darkness of every and all resources and imprisoned them. Paul said it was his assignment. It's his assignment. It's become my inspiration and my passion in Colossians 1:29 in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity with His power flowing through me. Can you say the gospel of grace? To present every believer the revelation of being His perfect one in Jesus Christ. I wish every one of you had a video camera and a microphone. And you could hit the city and do man on the street and find out people's reactions when you tell them in some way that as far as Jesus is concerned, you're seated next to Him with the Father and He sees you as the perfect one. And that is the crux of why Jesus did what He did. What do you think of that? Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. My prayer for all of you is that your hearts will be wrapped in the comfort of heaven and woven together into love's fabric. If you look at fabric, you can't tell where one thread begins and one thread ends. The certainty of your faith will give you access to all the riches of God as you experience the revelation of God's great mystery, Christ unveiled within you like hidden treasure. I love this verse. You have a hidden treasure on the inside of you, and He's waiting for you to discover what's in there. Some of y'all need to unlock it and open the lid. I'm the kind of person, I like to dig to the bottom to see what's in there first. Because sometimes the best stuff's down there at the bottom. But you got a treasure chest on the inside of you, it's waiting to be discovered. Heaven's wisdom, endless riches of revelation knowledge. How do you discover what's in your treasure chest? You put a demand on it out there living life. Sometimes it means you open your mouth and say things, and you say, "Well, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to trust you're going to step in when I open my mouth and give me something, because I know we want to carry on a conversation with this individual, don't we?" And He's going to say, "Yes, I do. Go ahead." Verses 6 and 7. In the same way you received Jesus. Now, we're going to focus on this verse today. In the same way you received Jesus, your Lord. Continue your journey of faith, progressing further. Everybody say further. Into your union with Him. Verse 7. Your spiritual roots go deeply into His life as you're continually infused with strength. See, it's His strength and your strength. It's all the same strength. Encouraged in every way as you're established in the faith. What are the next three words? Is it on the screen? How come when I ask something, no one says anything? Can you see it over the rail things?
Yeah.
What's the next three words? You have absorbed. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was coming into the gospel, no one ever explained to me that faith was something that I had to absorb. It was always talked about like it was something I was supposed to come up with on my own. Folks, the sooner you shut that mess off, the better off you're going to be. Paul said, the life that I now live, the faith that I now... I live my life through the faith of the Son of God. It comes from Him. I know some translations say in, but that's not correct. I live my life from the faith that originates from Him. Now, he goes on to say, so the body, there's only one body. Everybody say there's only one body.
One body.
That body is now Christ. That means it's not you. There's only one body. There's not one body and then you. There's one body and that's Christ. Can you imagine what a local church can do in a city when the revelation of there's only one body and it's Christ and not yours? The impact that that church can have in a local city? We would start seeing things like Paul said, that the body literally lives and moves and has the interests of Jesus at heart, first and foremost, 7 days a week instead of their own. It would be absolutely amazing. But this revelation has to explode in the hearts of people. There is only one body, it's Him. There isn't this local body of bodies and then Him, it's Him. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to jump forward because I want to get something over to you. This letter to the Colossians, and just about every letter Paul writes, starts out some kind of way like this. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you. Now, what is grace? And the working of His power that accompanies His presence. And peace from God our Father. How many have read that at least one place in your New Testament? It shows up everywhere. Well, and we've talked about this before, but I believe the Spirit of God wants to take it a little farther today. The word peace, again, is a word that really comes from a carpentry concept. It's really speaking of, remember in carpentry when they talk about the dovetail, you ever seen cabinets or furniture that the corners are dovetailed together? And I realize that they make them real decorative now. That's where they put a little dark wood on one side and white, you know, light wood on the other, and they kind of dovetail it together so it gives a cool pattern on the side. But if you don't decorate it up and you just put two pieces together and you're going to dovetail the two corners, if it's done right, you actually can't really tell where there's any splits, because they're literally interwoven into the other piece. Each piece is interwoven into the other piece, and there's no separation. You've all seen that stuff, right? That's what that word peace means. So literally, when Holy Spirit tells Paul to greet the churches, grace unto you and peace from God our Father, he's not just giving us a nice, warm, fuzzy greeting to make us feel glad about Him writing us a letter. He's communicating the truth from heaven's perspective every time that's said. He's talking about the presence of Him and the working of His power and to you, and also the oneness that Jesus was talking about. The God is one. He's one by virtual union. The virtual union that's with you. You're in Him. He's in you. There is no separation. So this word peace is really speaking of that union in which there is no separation. And the reason the Spirit of God is trying to communicate that to us is because He wants us to come to the place in our, if I could say it like this, the world talks about my truth versus your truth. He wants you to come to the place where you're living His truth. That you're so fused together with Him and He's so fused together with you, you can't tell where one stops and one ends. That word peace is referring to that union. Guys, I was raised in church and not one single person ever explained that to me. So it still facilitated there's me, there's Jesus, and there's Father. And I'm at the low end of the totem pole. That's not heaven's reality for you. Amen? 1 Timothy 5:21, speaking of grace, Paul says this, may God's grace empower you always. Why? Because that's what grace is. So with the presence and the power of God, now that that is yours as an inheritance, then also He's fused you into Him. In Him you live and move and have your being, and in you He lives and moves and has His being. Right? Is that right? So 2 Timothy 2:1, Timothy, he said this to Timothy, my dear son, live your life empowered by God's free-flowing grace. Is that a good enough picture for everybody? Which is your true strength. There he is. Love the Lord your God with all your strength. It's His strength because you're in Him. In the anointing of Jesus and your union with Him. So you can't get anywhere in the New Covenant write-ins that doesn't talk about you fused together with Him and Him fused together in you, and there is no separation one or the other. So it refers to, the word peace refers to a dovetail joint. Now in case you are having a hard time envisioning that, I took care of that for you. And I realize that that image is way up there. But if you look at that image closely, both of those pieces are absolutely fused together as one piece. In fact, the thing that's interesting about this, I wanted to know, okay, from a carpentry standpoint, why a dovetail joint? And the reason I found was this. It's noted for its resistance. Now think about this. This is absolutely amazing. It's noted for its resistance to being pulled apart. Think about the word peace. It's noted for its resistance to being pulled apart. It speaks of ultimate strength is measured by the maximum stress that a material can withstand while being stretched or pulled before it breaks. But understand this, that when the word talks about peace is yours, it's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's literally talking about you being fused together with Him and Him being fused together with you. There is no, this is where you stop and this is where He starts, or this is where He starts and this is where you stop. You're both fused together. There is no start and stop. It's all one unit. Notice what Jesus said. He's speaking to the religious system of the day, and He says, my sheep will hear my voice, and I know each one of them, and they follow me. I give to them the gift of eternal life, and they'll never be lost. And what does it say? No one has the power to snatch them out of my hands. My Father, and I'm fast-forwarding here, is the mightiest of all. And no one has the power to snatch them from my Father's care. Oh, and by the way, the Father and I are one. That really ticked off the religious community. In fact, I want to read to you what the religious community said. And you tell me if the religious community is not still saying the same thing. So he said, the Father and I are one. And they said, because they were going to stone him, they picked up a bunch of stones to have a rock concert. And he asked them, so let me ask you, which one are you stoning me for? Which of the miracles are you stoning me for? Or you could say it like this, which one of the miracles are you stoning us for? Or which one of the acts of mercy among you are you stoning us for? And they said, we're not stoning you for anything good you did. It's because of your blasphemy. Now notice how it's read in the Passion Translation. You're just a son of Adam. How many know the religious system is still trying to tie you as just being a son of Adam? Well, you were, except there's one little small tiny event that took place that changed your lineage and put you back into being a son of God, a woman of God, and not just a son of Adam or a daughter of Adam. See, that phrase, you're just a son of Adam. You son of Adam. That's a derogatory term that basically is saying you're just a natural man and nothing more. The religious system will never see a human being anything beyond that, but that's why the religious system is a big failure. The religious system is the worst babysitter that a human being could ever have. But understand the New Covenant reality, the New Testament reality, heaven's reality is you're not just a son of Adam, you're a son of God. And Jesus said, no one, this union, this joining together of me and him or anyone else in him is so strong that no one, like that dovetailed joint, no one can separate. I thought it was cool that it said because of the way they fashioned those dovetailed joints, they'll stay together by themselves. But they put glue on it just in case. Well, guess who the glue is? Holy Spirit. How many know that glue don't break? Each of the tails and pins in the dovetail joint could also be illustrated, if you look at it a different way and take it out of the carpentry realm and put it into the garden realm, it could be illustrated as a developed root structure that's joined in the ground. How many have ever tried to pull a plant out of the ground and you pulled and pulled and pulled? And all of a sudden you found yourself on the ground and you thought, good, victory. And then you looked over and all you had was part of the plant. The rest of it was still on the ground. Why? Because the root structure on that puppy is fused to the soil. It's not coming out. A developed root structure makes it virtually impossible to separate the plant from the ground. Ready for an awesome image? May this image burn in your brain forever. That is you. Now, let me explain something. Each one of those roots represents an area of your life that you on purpose sent down into him. Some folks may only have just a little tiny root and they only have one. That's all they have. And the reason is because they got hurt somewhere along the way regarding other areas, or they got disappointed along the way. Speaking of which, how many are listening to those monthly MP3s? If you're listening to them, raise your hand. Every time we face a disappointment in our life, we retract. We stop stepping out. We get a little more passive about it. As the MP3 said, we begin to make spiritual reasons why. Well, just go over to so-and-so. They're, quote, more anointed than I am in that area. Is that a true statement? No. But it sounds a lot better than, well, let me tell you something. There was a point in my life where I was believing God for something that didn't happen, so I just quit. That doesn't sound quite so spiritual, does it? But see, that's what happens. Each one of these roots represents an area in your life that you have to make a decision to send down deep into Him. Because in all actuality, here's what sends those roots down. And each one of those roots could be a different area of your life. What sends those roots down is the level of expectation and hope that you have in that area. Now that you've seen that image, let's go back and read these verses again. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. In the same way that you received Jesus the Lord, the Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with Him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into His life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way, for you are established in the faith you have absorbed. Let's put some verses together here. Notice what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 6. Nurture others in the living words. Everybody say living words. When you see the word living, what is it speaking of? Somebody speaks for somebody else to hear it. That is a good rock answer there, buddy. Whenever you hear the word living, obviously when it's a living God, that means there's something spontaneous. He lives in the spontaneous. He's alive. He interjects things in the here and now, right now. If we're talking about you being a living individual, you know, you're right now. When it talks about the living words of faith, it's speaking of the revelatory nature of what faith reveals to you. Again, I realize, folks, we're having to unlearn, if not decades, hundreds of years of thought processes that have tried to attach themselves to these words like faith. And so we hear these things and you have it on Sunday. Oh yeah, I see it. And then come Thursday, you're like, no, I don't get it. And we revert back to the faith comes from me. I got to have faith. I got to get faith. So I realized that it's going to take more than just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 times for us to talk about these things in so many different verses that show us exactly the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, that faith is revelatory in nature. It is the evidence of things. It's revealing something to you that belongs to you that exists right this moment. That is why faith exists. It is not something that comes from you. It is not some. We've made faith and believing synonymous, and it is not. Faith comes from Him. Believing is what you do with the faith that was revealed to you. It's Him handing the baton to you, and you taking that baton, setting something in motion. That's believing. You're setting something in motion. We call it faith, but it's actually believing. These signs follow them that have faith. Is that what it says? Nope. It says, these signs follow them that... you're setting something in motion. Then it shows you what the picture looks like. So notice this. We talked about this image, and we said that each one of those roots represents something. The reason that root has been sent down is because that's a certain thing or a certain desire, a certain issue in your life that you have hope and expectation for in Him. And unfortunately, so much of the time, all those roots get pulled back up because of disappointment, because of something didn't work, because of... I mean, believe me, folks, I have plenty to be disappointed about in my life. But that does not mean I'm not going to allow my roots to go down deep, have my expectations send them down there. What do roots do? But they seek out the moisture, right? There's one cypress tree, man. The roots in that puppy go down. The life of that tree is like 90 plus years. And the roots of that tree go down, so go down deeper than any other root of any tree. It'll find moisture where other trees can't find it. So what areas in your life, here's everybody close your eyes. I want you to think about this. What area in your life, because of life, have you stopped sending your root of expectation and hope down for, so that you can absorb the revelation of faith and live an infused life of strength and being encouraged further in that area? What area? I told you some years ago, I told you this, that there was a period of my life for 20 years that I would not pray for anybody. 20 years is a long time. You know why? Because I was disappointed one time. I had a friend that was dying of leukemia, and I prayed for them many, many, many times, and they still died. So I began to adopt this mentality where there just may be something wrong with me. And I would not pray for anybody else. The root went down. But because of life, I pulled it back up. Many of you have the same exact things going on in your life. I'm telling you, He wants you to rekindle and reawaken that expectation. And allow that hope and expectation to send that root back down into the soil of Him. And what happens when you send that root of expectation and hope back down is faith gets drawn, the revelation that faith has gets drawn back up into that root system. I want you to picture that. You are responsible for your expectation and the hope that you have in your life in any given area of your life. It is that expectation and hope that will send those roots down. But if you'll send those roots down, those roots, and you'll begin to develop and feed that expectation and hope, those roots will continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And then you will come to the place where faith will begin to be absorbed up into the root system. And the result is you will begin to have more and more and more revelation to live from in those areas, which in turn turns around and fuels and stokes your expectation and hope even more and strengthens that root system. In fact, you'll get to the place where you'll have such a root structure under you in these areas in your life that you can never be removed or separated from the ground ever again. Now everybody open your eyes. See if this verse doesn't mean something different to you now. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith brings our hopes into reality, becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It's all the evidence required to prove what's still unseen. The testimony of faith, because faith speaks and faith shows, is what previous generations were commended for. Verse 3, faith empowers you to see. Now your translation, some of them say, faith is the substance of things. What's the word? Hoped for. You know what the word substance means? It's the undergirding of something. This verse just calls it foundation. Your expectation and your hope that you allow to exist in your life in any given area, and the Spirit of God is asking you, please wake those things up again. Send the roots down deep into me. Colossians 2 says, your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you continually infused with strength and encouraged in every way, for you are established in the faith you have absorbed, but you have to absorb it. Faith is constantly wanting to reveal to you what belongs to you and cause that root system of expectation and hope to continue to multiply, expand, go down deeper, and get more and more and more absorption of what it wants to show you from heaven's vantage point. Is this making sense? Because it doesn't do any good for us to be all deep and nothing sticks. Does this make sense? Do we now understand the role of faith? And when the verses in Hebrews say that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the hope comes from you. You have to allow it to be. Hebrews says your hope is actually anchored to Him. But you still have the ability to pull it back yourself. What could a local church become if a body of believers allowed their expectation and their hope to be refueled and refastened and to go down deep into the soil of Him, so that we are constantly absorbing up into our understanding and our actions and our lives that reality that faith is constantly revealing from heaven? What could we accomplish in the city? What could you speak to people that you meet living from this place and not just out of your own head? It's a pretty amazing thing. These are the places that the Spirit of God is trying to take us. And like Peter said, everything that you would ever need for life and godliness is already on the inside of you. We just have to make a choice that He's still the biggest one in the room and we're not. If He says this is possible, who am I to say, no, I'm sorry, it's just not? If He says this life is where I'm designed to live, and I'm to drive my roots, my spiritual roots, deep into Him so that I can continually and constantly absorb that which faith so desires to reveal. The testimony of faith. Faith has something to say. Faith has something it wants to show you. What could we do in this city if we choose to live life on that level? I can tell you what we could do. There's nothing that would be impossible. Nothing. Because the powers of darkness can't prevail against anything that's revealed from heaven. Did you guys get anything out of this? My heart's desire is to see. What if we had? I just want to stretch your head here for a minute. What if we had 600 home fellowships all over the Phoenix metro area? Can you say 600?
600.
And each one of them was functioning from this principle. And as a base of operations, it reached those vicinities around it. What could we do? Now, I'm missing a whole lot of screens here. No, I'm not. Sorry. Let me just pose this to you. Close your eyes again. I'm done. I just want to pose this to you. As a church body, because of life, what have we, and by we I mean you as individuals, us as individuals, what have we stopped sending our roots of expectation and hope down for? To absorb the revelation of faith so that we could be established and infused with strength as a church body. What have we stopped expecting? He wants you to start expecting that again. When we show up here, do we expect to see new people? Or have we adopted the mindset, man, I hope nobody else comes? I don't want it to get anything beyond this. I like this. I don't want anything bigger than this. I just want this. Or when we show up, do we expect the Spirit of God to have drawn new people into this body? Because He does. I said He does. Did we stop hoping and expecting that? Because He's not. He hasn't stopped. Holy Spirit's asking if not just you as an individual in your own personal life, but also in the body, in this local church, He's wanting us to continually stoke our expectation and hope of new families. What does a local church exist for if not for that? This isn't all about us anyway. It's all about Him. It's all about His life, His desire, the desire He has in His heart for this church to literally let Him explode all over this city to reap His harvest. Let's be a culture that we never let life experiences dictate what we're going to expect. And in fueling and feeding our expectations, we just have come to the place in our life that I'm just going to talk to anybody and everybody I possibly can, not to invite them to church, but to reveal and bring the kingdom of God into their vicinity in the here and now. Because we understand that whatever seeds we plant for the kingdom out there, Father will see to it that we reap the harvest in here. Amen? Let's be that culture. Now you can stand up. You know, when I talk like that, the presence of the Lord is really strong here. Father, I just ask you that you cause this revelation to explode on the inside of us. Everybody say this after me. Father, forgive me for pulling up my roots. You place desires on the inside of me, in my heart, for my life. I send those roots of expectation and hope down into your soil again. And I refuse to ever pull those roots up again. You know, every place I go, and I think you can agree with me that it's the same for you. Every place you go, you see people that are a product of life pottering them. You see people that are the result of some kind of infirmity or something has caused damage in their life. Folks, we have got to come to the place in our life and that's just not okay ever again. And I understand that the way culture is that, you know, people take pride in their infirmities. I get that. What else are they supposed to do? Because as far as they're concerned, it'll never be any different. I don't want to feel bad about it. So they swing the pendulum the other way and they start having this, you know, pride about this. And I'm proud that I have this whatever. But folks, there's got to come a place in our life and our understanding that it's just not okay and they have a higher calling. I totally, absolutely expect that we're going to see Jakari and Kyron completely set free from where they are today. I'm going to say that again. I totally expect for us to come to a place where Jakari and Kyron are completely, absolutely set free from where they are today. I realize that it's easy for us to get comfortable. But we're not going to back off our hope and expectation in an area just because we're around it enough. Somebody better say amen. That's one of those roots that Holy Spirit wants us to drive deep into the ground and never take it out. There are so many other instances and so many other situations like that in the earth. What happens when we stop drawing back? We stop taking a step backwards. And we understand that we're driving our roots down deep and we're going to feed that expectation and hope by allowing the revelation of faith to continue to show us more and more. And we keep stepping out on things, we keep putting pressure on things. We keep our expectation out there in our actions and we keep bringing the kingdom into people's lives. And the Spirit of God will see to it that heaven will come on earth as He said it would. Holy Spirit is simply asking, are you that people? Are you that culture? Can we be one together? My answer is, for me, absolutely yes. But you have to answer that question yourself. But I believe your answer is yes, too. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you and I thank you and I praise you and I thank you for you causing this revelation, like I said, to explode in the hearts of the hearers and in the inside of them, Father. And I thank you. It's not just something we feel good about, something we applaud because it was a good message. But Father, we say, you know what? I am going to make this message be me. I want these roots to go down deep. I want to be a facilitator and a carrier of your presence. And I'm going to put some pressure on these things and we're going to see things come to pass. We're going to see things happen in our city, in our malls, in our gas stations, at the gas pump, every place we go, because I carry you and you carry me. And there just is no other version. And I thank you for stoking and fueling and causing the hope and expectation to be replanted and re-extended. May we be known as a church that is known for your presence. Not just here in these walls, but out there in the city. And I thank you for it. I thank you for those 600 home fellowships. Total, absolute saturation. Total, absolute saturation. Hallelujah. And everybody agreed with that prayer, said, amen. Amen, amen. Well, go have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.